This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, Eshin Akins. We're here with our special guest, Paranormal Billy White.
Yes.
Our paranormal aficionado, Jason. Been a little while, buddy.
It has been a little while, and you know, you can go a lot of different ways with that. You can say Paranormal Billy White, or you can say Billy Paranormal White Billy White. You can, whatever you want to say, but I'll tell you this, he's our man when it comes to things that we just don't understand.
That's it.
In fact, we've got a listener in Birmingham, an old fraternity brother of mine, his wife, Whitney Yarbrough. She was telling me she listens to us, and just wanted to give her and Brent a shout out. Hope they get to hear this. And she actually, when I mentioned Billy was going to be on the next show, she was, "Oh, Paranormal Billy White." Yes, she knew who he was. She loves the episodes on UFOs. She and her, if you remember, about a year or so ago, we talked just a little bit about the incident in Foley, Alabama, years ago. That was back in the late 80s or early 90s. She said that I believe she and her parents went to Foley to try to see the UFOs. So she's listened to every episode, and she's a big supporter. She got kind of turned on to us through a mutual friend, Marianne Cash, and we're just so glad that they're listening.
So, listeners, before we dive into it, we are going to talk some UFO stuff today. But we, since we had our last episode, there have been a lot of new Marvel news come out. The trailer for Eternals has dropped. The trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home has dropped. A lot of stuff going on. We're just, 2 weeks out from Loki.
See, today is the 30th, and Loki premieres on the 9th.
Yeah,
so yeah,
not long.
We're 2 weeks, less
About
than two
weeks.
Yeah,
we just got through Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's right.
Great show. I'd love to see how they expand on that moving forward. See if they're going to get another episode, another season rather.
Right, right.
Star Wars, man, we just got done watching The Mandalorian. Fantastic.
That was good.
Gonna have a season two of it. Gonna have the Book of Boba Fett. Is that
Book
right?
Book of Boba Fett. I'll be honest with you. My opinion on The Mandalorian is that it saved the Star Wars franchise. I believe there was so much dissatisfaction, excuse me, with the last three movies, which the Star Wars fan base is tough.
Very.
Oh, man. I don't know what you do. I'm sorry, folks. I'm getting choked up here. Star Wars does that to me. But I don't know what you do, because it seems like you can't go right with them. But, they a lot of them weren't crazy about the last three. So The Mandalorian comes along. No one really knows if it's going to be any good. And, man, it showed up. And it was almost like a Western set in outer space.
Absolutely. It was a great show. I loved it. Look forward to season two. Look forward to the Boba Fett spinoff.
I think that's going to be really good.
Yeah. So, Jason, tell me what your reaction to the Eternals was. Captain America and Iron Man getting name dropped in the trailer.
Yes, sir.
At the end.
You and I have discussed this. I believe the Eternals is going to be similar to Guardians of the Galaxy, in the sense that when Guardians of the Galaxy came along and they made a film, it was only the true blue comic book fans that even knew that they existed. Because I remember as when I was younger and buying comic books out of the turnstile at Eckerd's Drugs or Big B, Guardians of the Galaxy. And why did I know about Guardians of the Galaxy? Because I saw a raccoon holding a laser gun.
That's it.
And I thought, man, but it didn't interest me at that time, so I didn't read it. And then they came out and boom, Guardians of the Galaxy was fantastic. I think the Eternals is going to lay a lot of groundwork for the MCU, as far as kind of, okay, this is why, this is this way. This is the setting the stage for this and this and this. And it's going to bring a whole new team on, a very powerful team. And, there are going to be questions. I mean, and the biggest question everybody has is, where were they during the snap?
Yeah.
Why did they not assist?
Why did they not step in and help?
Right. Why did
That's
they not
step in? That's a question I had.
That's a question everybody
has.
Yeah.
Probably didn't think about that.
No.
I'm thinking about it now, but yeah, obviously not then.
Well, I mean, them being Eternals, you know, in their mind, hey, they don't care what happens because they're going to be around regardless.
Well, and
did the snap even affect them?
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
That's a real good question because, you know, they were kind of set up by the Celestials to protect humans from the Deviants. And folks, if you doubt if we're in the country, you're not doubting it now when you can hear those dogs. I don't know who they're barking at, what they're barking at. You know, as we have said before, we're in an undisclosed location. It's kind of a black site. No one knows where we are. Those dogs, that could indicate that someone has found us. So we better check that one out. But so, you know, I think it's going to bring on a whole new thing there. And it's going to give, I'm interested in the historical aspect, which is really kind of a heavy nerd, but, you know, outlook on it. But, you know, they say they're going to kind of couch the Deviants as some of the mythological beast or monsters from past myths. And, of course, the Eternals, you've got Angelina Jolie playing Athena, which is the prototype of Athena, the goddess. You've got Icarus. You know, Icarus was one of the great gods, and it kind of goes on and on. Gilgamesh, of course, you know, if you know anything about the Sumerians and the alien race in the Sumerian, or the ones who came from the sky. Oh, goodness gracious.
Crickets, folks, crickets.
Crickets. Anyway, Gilgamesh is a big part of the Epic of Gilgamesh is a big part of the lore. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. And, of course, you've got Kit Harington showing up. Everyone knows he's going to, at some point, become, if he's not already, the Black Knight. You know, that's more of a magical-type character on par with the Doctor Strange as far as the use of sorcery and it is, as far as how his powers imbued.
The more mystical side of Marvel.
Yes, the more mystical side. And it seems like they're going out toward a more mystical side.
Well, I think that's
side.
What this next phase is going to be all about. Regardless of the other movies we have Shang-Chi. We saw the trailer for that not too long back. It looks amazing, a lot of action. Also, we're going to have Thor Love and Thunder, which I've been reading a lot into. My understanding, your cousin had some hand in writing, helping write that.
He actually wrote Jason Aaron. He wrote the from our hometown here. He wrote the story that it's taken from,
right.
And it basically deals with Lady Thor, and you know, kind of the things that take place there, and of course, you know, they change the story up a little bit, I'm sure, but he had a big hand in that, and I think that's just fantastic.
So let me bend y'all's mind on something real quick. We talk about the Eternals and why they didn't interfere with the snap or Thanos
right.
at all.
Right.
Odin was around still when Thanos is out looking for these Infinity Stones.
Correct.
And Odin and Heimdall, I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong.
Heimdall.
He can see everything.
That was the southern pronunciation.
Right. Yeah.
Heimdall and y'all and Heimdall.
I've always called him.
Right. Why didn't Odin step in and?
Well, I think, which if you remember, you look at the timeline in the MCU, Odin had kind of battled the Frost Giants, and then he had battled the Dark Elves, and then he went into Odin's sleep. That's how Loki was able to come.
In Thor 1.
Right. So I think he was kind of at a point of recharging, but I do believe that he's one of the things that held Thanos back as far as just coming on strong. I mean, you know, Thanos didn't invade Asgard.
No.
You know, so I think, Odin and possibly the Ancient One, you know, because they're both so incredibly powerful, were kind of forces that held Thanos a little bit at bay because he's thinking, you know, these guys, when they're gone, I'm making my move.
Right.
And he did.
And the Ancient One should have known about what Thanos was up to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see the article where Kevin Feige was talking about regretting casting her to play the Ancient One?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that.
It was a pretty decent article. He didn't feel like that the MCU got the best of the Ancient One with her portraying the character.
Was it Emma Watson or?
Lord, her name around the tip of my tongue here, Jason.
She's an Irish actress.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they did catch a little bit of guff over it, because in the comics, the Ancient One is played by an Asian male.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make that switch, and I'm not sure what Kevin Feige's, what his feelings were on, you know, why they did that, that bothered some folks in the Asian community.
It did.
Especially in their second biggest movie market, China. Yeah,
good God, they're getting a whole movie. They're getting Shang-Chi.
Well, yeah, that's true. They're getting Shang-Chi, and they haven't been too happy with some of the things about it.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. But Marvel, I think if they make $1.7 billion off a movie, I think $700 million comes from China.
Oh, sure. And then Marvel has to change things about their movies.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make them suitable for the Chinese market.
Yes. You take the villain in Black Widow, Taskmaster. In the comics, his face resembles, his mask resembles a skull. In China, for whatever reason, I don't know what, you know, that it's a cultural thing, you are not allowed to depict a skull in film. And so they said, no, that's not going to fly. So they changed his mask, and you'll notice that in the Black Widow film.
So Black Widow releases July 9th. We've got about a month and a half away, I guess, now?
A month exactly from Loki.
Right. And then we got the Eternals that are dropping in November that we've talked about.
Yes.
November 5th.
Yes.
Shang-Chi in September.
Yes.
September 3rd, my brother's birthday. He'll give no shit about this because this is not his wheelhouse.
He doesn't care about the
no,
Marvel?
No, not at all. He doesn't.
Wow.
And then Spider-Man No Way Home in December.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be, this is connected to Marvel, but Venom will be dropping, I believe, in October.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot of talk
Venom
about
2.
Sony's Marvelverse or their mm-hmm. version of the MCU, which
yeah.
is, from my understanding, a lot of the stuff I'm reading on Spider-Man No Way Home, Kevin Feige's been working real close with them on the Spider-Verse, on Sony's side.
Yes, the Sony executive that is in charge of that branch of their production company is very close to Kevin Feige. So he came out a couple of days ago and said, listen, there is a plan to make this all connect.
Yeah.
Which gives me a little bit of I'm like, good, because the last thing you need is two multi-billion dollar companies putting Marvel products out there that don't line up.
It would kill it as for me as a fan if it didn't line up.
Personally, I think that's part of what killed the Fox Mutant X-Men universe. When it didn't connect, people started losing interest.
Right, and then they kind of rebooted it. It was real weird. After X-Men 3, they rebooted the franchise again.
Yeah.
And it made no sense at all.
No, they hit a little bit of a surge with the new actors in the first couple of movies, and then it went down fast. Age of Apocalypse was a dog. Rise of Phoenix, Phoenix Rising, this is the Phoenix story, folks. It bombed. One of the worst Marvel movies I've ever seen.
And it's going to be interesting to see come soon, because you've got to expect within the next year to 2 years, by the end of 2022, you're going to have the X-Men.
You would think.
You're going to have Fantastic Four. There's already talks about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have Deadpool coming into the fold.
Correct.
Not sure how they're going to use that character. It'll be interesting to see. But
I think
Wanda and Doctor Strange is going to help usher in a lot of that.
I do, too. And I think Loki's going to play a big part in it. Because
with the time travel.
With the time travel and how he's affected the timeline.
Yeah.
I think everything we see for the next year is going to be a form of connection to the multiverse.
That's it.
And that's how they'll explain it. You know.
Well, even the Spider-Verse, which Doctor Strange will play a hand in and No Way Home,
mm-hmm.
With Spider-Man, because it's confirmed Andrew Garfield and
Tobey Maguire.
That's a done deal. That's set.
Right.
They're both going to be in it.
Alfred Molina has come out and said that they're using de-aging technology so he can play Dr. Octopus again. Jamie Foxx has confirmed, coming back to Electro.
I read something today about Miles Morales showing up in No Way Home.
That would be very interesting. That would be, because, you know, in the comics, he is from a different universe.
Yes.
So
that, well, the other, you know, Garfield, Spider-Man, and Maguire, they're all from different Earths.
Yes, they're all from different universes. And speaking of Sony, since we're talking about it, this week they confirmed Aaron Taylor-Johnson, that played Quicksilver in the Marvel films, playing Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter, yes.
And they're looking at a multi-picture deal.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you see the news where DC Warner Brothers is converging into a new company name?
Mm-hmm.
And it's potential that Disney could buy that company out.
Man, that would be incredible.
So you would have Marvel and DC in the mouse house.
They got the money to make it work.
Yeah,
they can absolutely do whatever they want to do.
And then at some point, we could see a potential of a DC-Marvel crossover.
Oh, yeah.
That'd
be awesome.
That's
the way I think right there. I think big like that.
I think it would be entertaining.
The comic that I write, it's because got both.
By the time they get point... You've come to a kind of a low point. You need something to recharge both franchises, because obviously if Disney can take over the reins of DC, they're going to reboot it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to follow the formula that Kevin Feige, and they'll probably put Kevin Feige in charge of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if he – which that's a whole lot to be over, but, you know, if he can do it.
Absolutely.
He obviously can do it. Yeah. But, yeah, that would be very, very interesting and encouraging. You know, as far as I know, there's been two or three. Billy might be more sure of it than I am, but I know there's been at least two actual DC Marvel crossover events in comics.
Probably three.
Three.
First one was Spider-Man and Superman. There was a Batman Hulk.
That's right. That's right.
And there's this latest one where they fight each other, and they let the fans, if I remember correctly, they let the fans vote on who was going to win the fights ahead of time.
Wow.
But could you envision that on the big screen? You'd get to see the Hulk up against Superman, or Batman up against Iron Man. Because that, to me, they're the equals in their respective universes.
It's a dream come true.
It's
for a comic fan.
It would be insane.
It would be. I mean, you know, we went through when they really started trying to do superhero films in the 90s, and they were just and then when Spider-Man came along in 2001, it was phenomenal. And it just kept going from there.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be something special, guys, and we may get to see that before we die. So
we may get to. I'm telling you, they've got so much material, they could go on for decades, really, if they really went through the material.
You know, they had an amalgam or whatever, where the DC and Marvel characters kindly combined. You ever see any of that?
Now, there was one, if I'm not mistaken, where they combined forces. And part of it was they were trying to get the Darkseid was trying to get the mother boxes or some other artifact, and Thanos was trying to get the Infinity Stones. It was something going on like that. It was a contest, and they were having to all work together.
Wow.
So you have whispers, because you've got a lot of people at Marvel and DC who have worked for both companies.
Well, sure, and they're friends between companies, and
yes.
Closer than what we envision there being. What's up with DC right now in their movies? Batman's delayed again. The Batman.
What are they looking at? 2023 on that?
Something like that. It's been pushed off again.
Well, you know, I know they were having they had to shut it down because of COVID, and then they were having problems with Rob Pattinson. He was being difficult to work with, was not following any regimen, refused to work out, you know, and get kind of the classic
Batman look.
And, you know, he's I'm going to do this my way. This is year two of Batman. So they had some problems there.
Yeah.
Now I don't know what's going on with them, but, you know, you got that. Gosh, as far as the rest of DC goes, it's so... It seems like it's always in constant turmoil. You know, the Snyder Cut came out, and I watched that film, and it was in another universe as far as quality compared to the original.
God, yes.
Yeah. You know, you sit there and you think, if they had released this in a two-parter maybe, oh, man, it would have been a hit.
Well, I say you do, you know, Zack Snyder should be running the whole show at for DC.
Well, you know, he's got a loyal fan base, and since things have changed now, there are strong indications that it's possible he could come back. So, but
well, Jason, we've talked about our nerd news.
Yes, we have.
And let's get into the meat of this. We decided to come in. We're going to talk UFOs again. There's been a lot of new news surfacing as of late as far as the existence of UFOs, the existence of aliens, a lot of stuff getting declassified with the government. The government, the Senate, the House asking questions.
Yes. basically, and we've talked about this before on the show, and everybody knows, you know, we all grow up with popular culture and the feeling of the belief that the government's not telling us everything about extraterrestrials. Of course, you've got Area 51, you've got Roswell, you've got the situation, I believe it was Kehoe, Pennsylvania or something like that. You have all kinds of events that have taken place that have been shrouded in mystery. Well, the veil is starting to lift. And what we have is kind of a history of denials and sightings by astronauts, by military officers, high-ranking military officers. And it's at the point now to where they can't deny it because things, like you said, are being declassified. The public is seeing it for the first time. And I thought it would be good if we just talk a little bit about the aspect of what some of our astronauts have claimed and what NASA's had to say and some of the recent stuff. When I say recent, 60 Minutes did a segment on this just a week ago or 2 weeks ago, March 16th, on three recently released recordings. So I'm going to just kind of pivot to Billy over here.
So what you're saying, Jason, is all these country hicks and, well, really people from all over the country that have claimed to have been abducted, they may not be as kooky as they sounded.
You know, that guy that you always thought was just so-and-so's cousin that was talking crazy, you know, or maybe it wasn't quite right, something happened to him when he's a kid, I don't know. That guy may not be lying. He may be telling you something that you didn't want to believe, but you may have to believe at some point. and what's wrong with that?
That's it.
But Billy, I know you've been reading up on NASA and what some of the astronauts have said over the years. What this, you know,
this is you can watch this on YouTube if you want to see it. It's got some visuals on there. The video is The Strangest Encounters in Space: NASA's Unexplained Files.
And that's the aliens outside, folks.
Yeah, they tracked us down.
But you can see it on that video, and I just jotted down different, you know, sightings on there. Like February 20th, 1962, John Glenn, first American to orbit Earth. And about 5 minutes after launch, he witnesses hazy, darting lights surround his capsule. He said, it was a mass of them enveloped the craft, and he called them fireflies. He never figured out what they were, and neither did anyone else.
Now, John Glenn, a very respected astronaut.
A former senator.
Yes.
Yeah. I hear that, and of course, I'm sure there are things, anomalies, things in outer space that we don't even know what they are right now. But at the same time, I think, you know, that if you're an advanced civilization, and it's going to take you light years to cross even the smallest distance in space. To me, if you're that advanced, you're going to send out robots. You're going to send out nanotech, things that can go and go and go and don't have a lifespan like humans do. And I wonder on something like that if that could have been nanobots just investigating that capsule.
Right. Well, it's on that video. You can see it for that. Segment is on there, but really, NASA, like we were discussing earlier, sort of like, you know, the government and Project Blue Book, they just downplayed everything and tried to make it sound like there's a rational explanation.
Yeah,
it's always like where the ship separates, like part of the capsule or something like that. They always saying something natural like a comet or a meteor.
Yeah.
At any time, something's going one direction and changes direction, does a 90-degree turn, that rules that out completely.
Yeah, that's not a natural pattern that you find.
It can't.
That's like finding a right angle in nature. It just doesn't exist.
Right. Check like this right here. Project Gemini, June 3rd, 1965. The astronauts were Ed White, James McDivitt. They noticed an object outside their craft. NASA and NORAD attempt to identify the object. And they said the closest man-made object was at least 200 miles away.
I mean, you know.
Really.
And these aren't people, and, you know, and I hate to, I know.
It's not Farmer Fran.
Right, right.
These are somebody with some people with some education.
Exactly. Yeah,
here's a good
serious
example of
people.
That right here.
I mean, they're out there in space. Anything they do incorrect could be their death. So.
December 4th, 1965, Project Gemini 3. Frank Borman and Jim Lovell. Jim Lovell was a former U.S. Navy pilot. And under 2 hours into their mission, they noticed something outside their craft. And Jim used the term bogey, a term used to describe enemy aircraft. And they tried telling him it was the booster, and he's like, no, it's not the booster.
Jim Lovell, which is famous for Apollo 13.
That's correct. That is correct. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Right. September 12th, 1966, Project... Our Mission Gemini 11. Pete Conrad and Richard Jordan, they see an object outside their craft that they cannot identify. A bright object that seems to change shape before their eyes. This one's really strange. It's changing shape. Once again, officials try to identify the object. The closest man-made object is a satellite 280 miles away. That's what they said. But later they came back and said the closest was 3,000 miles away. Observations, research shows it clearly wasn't a satellite and must have been thousands of feet in size. That's huge. After 40 years of investigation, the encounter remains a mystery and is still unsolved to today. Next question.
I mean, if you're, like we're saying, you're an astronaut.
How could something be thousands of, or hundreds of feet in shape or whatever it was and changing shape? That's just mind-boggling.
That's some type of technology right there, man.
Nanotechnology.
Nanotech, I mean, you know the
net. Change shape, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
July 16th, 1969, aboard the Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Buzz Aldrin. Also, Alan Bean was on the craft. 3 days into the mission, the astronauts see a flashing object. Armstrong immediately radios down to control. And this right here is said millions of people probably was following this on TV and everything. Mm-hmm. And they were reluctant to say this over the air. They said the astronauts were reluctant to announce over the air what they had seen, and it still remains unexplained.
Wow.
And people have forgot about this over time. You know, people back then, that was the original moon landing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
world was watching.
The whole world's watching. You're talking about governments from all over the world. Every government, every human being is paying attention to this. And people have forgot about that over time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're 3 days into a space trip. You've left the Earth. You're 3 days gone, and you're seeing flashing lights.
Exactly. And you got to decide... Okay, would the U.S. government want me to disclose this on everything you say?
Right.
Everything you say is being heard
exactly.
by the Soviets
and point.
Everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't no other country in space.
No,
it was just us. It was just us.
I mean, doesn't that kind of narrow down what it could possibly be? It ain't Russia. It ain't China. It ain't a comet. It ain't...
No.
You know.
No.
It ain't
space
swamp
dust.
Gas.
It's not swamp gas.
Yeah, I mean, you're 3 days into space, you're not getting that swamp gas from Louisiana, I'm sorry.
No, it's not happening.
This one is Mission Skylab 3, September 1973. Owen Garriott, Jack Lukma, and Alan Bean. On September 20th, pilot Jack Lukma spots something, a bright red flashing light traveling across the sky. Alan Bean records the incident in his mission diary. It traveled along with them for about 20 minutes. Then it changed direction. To this day, still remains a mystery. Mission STS-48.
They're idiots.
It's anyway, orbiting over Australia, September 15th, 1991. One of the external camera records an object moving through space. Then a flash appears and the object changes direction. Then after that, a different object, a streak shoots through the frame at high speed. This video, you can see it on the video, this video is a classic of space shuttle UFO case. And it also remains unresolved.
Jason was away. If you heard that noise, he was closing the bunker.
I'm locking it down, folks. I'm locking it down. These, our security out there keeps, they're seeing something. I don't know what's out there, so I felt like it would be better if we locked it down.
Right. This is the one, I think, where they, one of these, and I think I wrote it down, said he actually had the object on film and gave it to NASA. And it took three days for NASA to release it. And then when he saw it, he said, hey, that's not what I saw. That's not it. Out of the December 1st, 1996, mission STS-80. Stoney Musgrave, legendary astronaut. In downtime, he was watching out, looking for unidentified objects. Yeah, this is good. You can see it in the video. Several blinking lights appear, and they form a perfect circle formation. You can see it on the video. It's for real.
And that's another thing that does not occur in nature.
No. It looks like something off a TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just there at random, and then they just go into this circle of formation. It's almost like a perfect circle.
Wow.
You can see it on that video. This is mission STS-115, September 9, 2006. Cameras record the launch and something unexplained, a triangular-shaped object that appears to be shadowing the expelled fuel tank. The object's shape and movement attract attention. That never was explained.
And so it was a triangle-shaped? Okay, great, because when I go over some of this other stuff, we're going to approach that triangle shape again.
Those are just off that video.
Well, you would think that if any government agency knows something, it's got to be NASA. I mean, that's their thing, space. You know? I mean, but they seem to, there's something they call NASA, I forget, but they do not release very much information, and they tend to deny.
Let me ask you this. With all this news coming out and all this stuff getting declassified, and everybody thinks that President Trump was crazy developing the Space Force. Mm-hmm. Got to be something to that.
I wonder if, you know, when he first, I guess it was the day of his inauguration, he met with President Obama. I wonder if when they're sitting there talking, Obama leaned over and said, hey, by the way, UFOs,
are real.
They're real. And Trump was like, what? He's like, they're real. And he's like, oh, my God. And that's, we got to get a Space Force.
And that's where Space Force came from. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in them conversations?
Oh, man.
Here is the most classified information you're ever going to hear.
Ever. I mean, this, it boggles the mind, and you wonder how much classified information pertaining to these is out there, or is locked away, I should say. I don't know. I know there's a certain amount of time that has to go by before they'll even consider declassifying something. I know you can file a request to have things released, but obviously they don't declassify a lot of this kind of stuff because you have organized groups like MUFON and other types of UFO researchers who I'm sure petition all the time to get things declassified. And, you know, we're just now starting to get some stuff because it's like Billy said, Operation Blue Book, Man, that was a joke. Yep. That was a joke. The whole Roswell incident, it was a balloon, and they had some kind of a dummy attached to it. Why would you even do that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just foolishness like that. The things that astronauts have seen in space, it's, oh, that's a solar blanket that got turned loose of.
Yeah.
And it's floating in space. You know.
Just, to me, idiotic. I mean, just...
It is. And
like that grasping at straws or something.
Well, and to me, all that does now, because with as many satellites that are up there and the technology people have at their disposal, it makes them look even more suspicious. You know, if they would just come out and say, listen, we don't know what this is. And personally, that's my belief. I think they don't know, and they're trying to figure it out, but they don't want us to know they don't know. We'll lose confidence.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they think it'd be pandemonium on the street and dogs and cats would be living together. Well, I mean, End of days.
After the past couple of years that we've had just here in the United States, I mean, maybe they think we're ready for this information. Hey, you know what? They've been through hell. We might as well tell them.
You know what? Yeah. Everybody, after...
They're not going to believe us anyway.
After the past couple of years... Everybody's been fussing so much with each other, and it's like every day brings a new struggle. I think it's almost like the whole country needs a vacation.
Right.
The whole country's got a hangover, you know.
Let's use this information to reunify them.
Yeah, either that or it's like you said, they just figure, well, at this point now, they don't have the strength to fight us. I don't know.
Well, I think I said this on one of the other UFO recordings, but I believe that you're going to be hearing more and more about it on the news, because at that time Glenn Beck had talked about it twice, and Tucker Carlson had talked about it once on Fox News, but since then
it's gotten all over.
Oh my, yeah,
it's
showing up.
I even watched a clip on the Today Show. They were talking about it, and it's getting to the point now, it's like, you know, there's always a breaking point, a point where it tips over, a tipping point. I think we're approaching a tipping point where when you have people in positions of authority, like the Senate, saying, tell us what is going on because our people want to know, then it's just a matter of time for you get a guy like Edward Snowden who's on the inside, and it's like, people need to know this. Boom. He starts putting it out there. Boom, boom. You know, and then after enough of it, people aren't afraid to talk anymore.
Right. And who's to say we haven't already got some information that way?
That's true. You know, we were talking about NASA.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to bring this up in a previous episode just to speak along that line. There was a clip you played from Coast to Coast.
Yes.
The crazy guy that was really erratic.
The frantic caller.
That's
yes.
It.
Yes.
Maybe there was something really to that.
Could have been. Could have very well been. You know, it's easy to dismiss things and say, oh, that was fake. Oh, that was staged. Well, everything is not fake.
No. As much as some people wish it is, it's not.
It's exactly. And sometimes we have to face the fact that we don't have all the facts, that we don't know. We can theorize all day long, but we simply don't know what something is. So
check this out. After reading all that I just read, and that was just some of it, this is what was said in 1970. After 15 years of manned space voyages, including space stations and landing on the moon, spacemen have brought back not a shred of evidence, verbal, photographic, or otherwise, to the existence of extraterrestrial spacecraft or UFOs.
That's just a
wow.
That could not state their position any clearer.
Nope, you nailed it.
Mm. Yeah. And NASA, you know, the military at least has started to release some things.
Right. And
but NASA's yet to do anything.
NASA, if you think about it, how much is NASA holding back from the United States government?
It's got to be a lot, man. It's got to be. I mean, my goodness.
They're not tied to the government. They probably can do what they want to.
Right,
that's true. Good point.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless somebody steps in and says, hey, you know.
Which, I mean, they have military liaisons within NASA. I mean, that's part of it. You've got an aircraft going up in the sky. You've got military liaisons.
Right.
But, you know, to broaden that, think about our technology where it sits right now. When did we really start seeing a boom in technology start? 60s, 70s?
Actually the 50s. Yeah. And you know, and that goes...
Aircraft and automobiles.
Aircrafts, automobiles. We went from the transistor to the microchip. Plastics went through the roof as far as, you know, what they could do with them. It was almost like, and I'm not trying to draw lines, like after Roswell.
Like that.
Boom. It took off. Yeah. Yeah. And now it's reaching a point I'm not sure what this law is called. There's a certain law that once technology reaches a certain point, it will just continue to double at an accelerated rate.
Well, it does.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Computer in your hand right here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm holding my cell phone, folks. This right here, back in the 40s, 50s, would have been rooms full of servers and processors and tubes and lights. And
you would have been like, they would have thought you beamed off the Starship Enterprise.
You could take You could take this back to the 50s and they're going to swear your name.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, here the start on the Enterprise, they walk up to a door and it opens by itself. We have that at Walmart now.
Yeah, that's right. We have that at Walmart now.
That's it.
I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Well, just in the recent years where I live, which, you know, is out.
You still don't have internet out here.
I still don't have internet. It's a very rural part of the country because I have to consider, you know, security issues with the kind of things we cover and the information we have. So I live out away from most folks, you know. So I have no internet, but I can take this cell phone you just mentioned, plug an HDMI cord into it, plug the other end into my television. Now I can watch Netflix, Disney's, whatever.
Whatever you want.
Whatever I want. I don't have to have a internet. You know, and if, I mean, it's just, I can power, if I had a smart TV, I could power it off of this little device.
Shit.
And we are just moments away from having cars that fully drive themselves. Not just park.
Oh, that's
fully
close,
drive.
Man.
That's close.
My car that I just bought, it's a 2020 model.
Mm-hmm.
Ford has a thing called Ford Copilot 360 2.0.
Wow.
It will evasively drive for you. If something is in the middle of the road, it will dodge that object for you.
Wow.
It will brake for you in a collision situation. It will keep you in your lane.
And how long until they say, listen, we're going to do an upgrade and upgrade your computer on your vehicle so that you don't even have to drive it anymore?
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you where it's going. We're within the next 20, 25 years, we're not going to have gasoline vehicles on the road anymore.
I predict within the next 5 to 10 years in Alabama, which, you know, usually we're 50th behind everybody and everything. In Alabama, you're going to see electric recharging stations all over the place.
Everywhere. And they're going to get faster and faster because, you know, I work for Ford, obviously.
Well, you guys just introduced the F-150.
The Ford Lightning, yes. Yeah. They've already got the Mach-E on the road, which is the Mustang.
Right, right.
The electric Mustang.
Right.
And it's incredible, the science in that, man. The Ford Lightning is the fastest truck in the F-150 lineup.
Wow.
0 to 60 in roughly 4 seconds.
0 to 60.
All electric.
You know, in 20 years, the internal combustible engine will be an artifact. Like now, if we saw a steam engine and we had it, well, use that steam engine, you know, you can burn wood and make it go. That's how we'll look at the internal combustion engine.
Right, and it's only going to get more impressive and more impressive.
Oh, yeah, batteries will improve. They're already improving. And who knows what Elon Musk is up to.
That's what I was fixing to say.
The man's a genius.
Months ago about him trying to figure out a way to connect computers to your brain or something like that, and said he just about could do it now.
There's an implant he's been developing. I forget what he calls it, but it would be surgically implanted, and it would allow you to interface with technology mentally.
Wow.
To your human brain, right?
To the human brain. You know, that turns you into a cyborg. that turns you into something that you'd watch a movie 2 years ago about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and you once they get to that point, once they develop nanotech, and, you know, I don't know where we're at. I don't know if we're 5, 10, 20 years away.
Probably not far off from it. And then, honestly, Elon Musk will probably be the one to do it.
Yeah.
Because he is the Albert Einstein of our era.
Yeah, he is. He definitely is. You know,
the man manages multiple companies.
I mean, just crazy stuff. I mean, you know, they're having traffic problems in L.A. So he says, okay, well, I'm going to build this big machine that's going to bore under the highways, and we'll have tunnels to help with the traffic situation. And he named it the Boring Company.
Yeah.
Who does that? And they're like, okay.
You have to listen to a guy. I mean, he's developed SpaceX, Tesla.
Yeah.
I mean, you know he's the creator of PayPal.
Yes, yes. I think that's how he got started.
Yeah, that's how he made his money. That's how he made his money.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable, man. And
he's developing his own. Y'all have heard of cryptocurrency, Dogecoin, all this.
Yes. I think, is Dogecoin his?
No, he is developing his own Bitcoin.
Okay, developing his own.
My wife invested in one of that. I think it's Bitcoin or something.
Bitcoin is very outrageously priced. It's $37,000 a Bitcoin or something like that.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It's incredible.
I know the Dogecoin just a few weeks ago went from like pennies to way on up.
Yeah, I've got a little invested in. I invested like $10 in it just to play it and watch it and entertain myself.
Yeah.
And I've lost money at this point, but
it'll
jump back up.
It will until it starts to level off.
You know, I was talking to some folks, kids that are younger than me, when Bitcoin, because it didn't get popular until 2006, 2007.
They didn't think it would make it at
first. No, it was a joke.
It was a joke.
And if you had invested, say, a couple $100 back when it first came out, you'd be rich beyond measure right now.
Be unbelievable. Be unbelievable. You know, and that's, you know, to be able to see the wind, man, to know the future. That's
it.
But to go back to your question, you know, the rate of advancement in technology. You know, there have been those who have theorized that there's just no way we could have done it alone. I mean, you take going back a few years before that to Nazi Germany. They made some huge advancements. I mean, quick. They were developing their own atomic bomb. You know, unfortunately for their stupid policies, you know, we all know about their stupid policies, caused a lot of their Jewish scientists to flee to this country. A lot of those scientists...
And make improvements to our technology.
Then with Operation Paperclip, at the end of the war, we took a lot of their scientists and a lot of their intelligence guys and said, hey, you're going to help us against the Russians, and we're going to forget about anything. Everything's cool. So, you know, you look at that, and then you look at the possibility that we did get a hold of some alien technology at Roswell or somewhere else. Man... I mean, I hate to just say, well, the magic fairy dropped it on us and that's how we got to where we are, but it's compelling.
Absolutely. Now, we've not spoke about this. We spoke a little bit about this clip. Well, you played us a clip before we started recording.
I was going to request, since we're so deep into the show, why don't we save this for the next show?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
We've covered so much NASA. Part two on this, we'll go from NASA to the military.
Right. It's very, very interesting information. It's got, excuse me, folks. It's going to be some stuff that's going to come out in the mainstream media within the next month.
Yeah, and some of it has already dropped.
Right. The Senate has requested some information.
Yep.
And
they want a report by next month on what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. And we'll try to talk about this before it drops, and then we'll revisit that after the information really hits.
Right, right. After the peas and carrots hit the fan.
Yeah, and it's
after your aunts and uncles are running in the street and telling you better
wearing tin hats and
buy pork and beans.
Yeah.
You better buy pork and beans and get stocked up.
Yeah.
yeah. Get ready for it. Well, what do the two of you, you know, after listening to Billy and considering this with our space program, what do y'all think these astronauts, I mean, forget about NASA. They're just going to deny.
Yeah, absolutely. Until they feel like it's safe to, hey, we've known about this since the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. We just didn't want to scare y'all. What do y'all think these guys are seeing out there?
Man, I'm going to tell you what. From a young age, I believe in aliens. You grow up watching shows like, you know, we've talked about Alien Nation and Unsolved Mysteries and
yes,
and stuff like that. And I've experienced it. And I believe from a young age. I remember as a young kid one night, and I was laying on sleeping on the couch. We lived over on Smith Lake Dam Road. And looking out the window toward this area, actually, and seeing something in the sky, and it's just jetting off, like, phew. And then a night, my whole family witnessed something strange in the sky that moved up and down and back and forth and just shot up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So I believed from a young age that something else exists out there.
You know, it's funny you should say that because, and I don't tell a lot of people about this, but I remember going back down Walston Bridge Road, close to Walston Bridge. I probably was 5. It was back, it's so far back. Do you remember when, how long have you lived here, Billy?
Since 1975.
You remember when the Sonic was downtown?
I do.
And you had the old rowboat car wash with the dinosaur on top? Well, we were going to go to the Sonic and go through the rowboat. It was a Sunday evening, Mom and Dad, me and my sister. My youngest sister hadn't even been born yet. We were riding in the back, and I remember Mom and Dad looking at something over in the sky to the right. And I remember my dad saying, it's shaped like a teardrop, and it's just sitting there. How strange, you know? And I looked out the window, and I could see it, and it looked almost like a satellite, but it was shaped similar to a teardrop. You could tell was obviously a metallic object. Couldn't make out a lot of detail, but I, you know, that's not something that I dreamed. I know that it happened, and ever since then, I have thought, you know, I can't really discount everybody's stories because I saw something.
Yeah, and everybody's got a story similar to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure Billy's had some experiences with stuff like that. And
have you ever seen a UFO?
UFO. Now, I can remember, it seemed like it was 1973 that Ohio had the big UFO sighting explosion. West Virginia did too.
Yeah.
And it was in the newspaper every day.
And we've talked about that. We talked about it on a previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was about 1973.
Yes.
And that's when I first had heard of that and was intrigued by, you know.
Right.
But
right.
I never saw it.
We've talked about a lot of paranormal stuff on the show, and I think a lot of it may even tie together.
So we have talked about that if some of this actually does tie together, and we have talked about the interdimensional aspect,
right? Like Bigfoot being an alien species that's just found his way through interdimensional travel.
Right, exactly.
Well, that would explain why he's never been captured.
And he just vanishes.
Found a dead body.
You ever notice how people who are being chased by him in the woods, they always get away? He vanishes. They're like, he was
right.
Gone.
Well, there have been places where they follow his footprints up to a certain spot, and then they just end.
Then they just
like
end.
He vanished.
Well, and I mean, you can go.
I
even
mean, you could really spend some time into that.
Well, you can get into scratching the surface. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can get into demonology with that.
Well, I mean, people go missing in the woods all the time, and they're never found again.
And you know, that's an episode to do in the future on, you know, there's a great series called Missing 411 about disappearances in national parks, unexplainable disappearances. We need, you know, which I'm going to tell you, living where we live, we know a little bit about people disappearing, you know, so I think that might be a good thing for us to cover is just disappearances. I mean, there have been a lot of cases of people who have vanished, never to be seen again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think we've decided we're doing some more paranormal shows. That's kind of been our wheelhouse of lately. And
I think
we've seen the most interest in them shows.
I think it was probably because Billy was, I think they came because,
yeah, right.
You know, that we would announce Paranormal Billy was going to be there. And they're like, oh, I'm going to listen to him
right.
This week.
You know, the reason I had put that text, I put Paranormal Billy ? Because you gave me a nickname. My grandson started calling me that.
Did he?
Yeah, my grandson. Camden Bryant.
Camden Bryant.
Yep.
Paranormal Billy.
Yep.
So, I mean, I could see some more paranormal investigations in the future. I think we need to do that soon.
Well, we had an invitation. You know, I was telling you about Whitney Yarbrough. I said, would you be interested in going with us on some type of an investigation? And she said, absolutely. They live in Birmingham. I said, well, maybe we could meet halfway or go somewhere that would be convenient for both parties. So I think, yeah, that's not a bad idea. And Jared Aaron has requested that he be involved in our next investigation.
Fantastic. I would love to have some previous guests with us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Billy and Jared, I mean, that would be great.
They'll bring some different flavors besides this Neapolitan.
But I want to keep revisiting the UFO stuff,
yes, sir.
Listeners.
Somebody can write a 300-page book about that subject. You know, it's deep.
Oh man, it is. It is deep.
But the fact of the matter is, they're not going to get the information in the way that we're going to provide it for them.
That's what they're missing. That's the missing thing, because you know, you got three guys here. We are not. We may like Marvel. We may like Star Wars or whatever. But we are definitely not Poindexters. You know, we're not sitting around and acting all weird. We're just three regular guys.
If we didn't think this was important, we wouldn't talk about it.
Exactly. If we
this
didn't
think nerd news, this is real.
This is real.
And where do these, all the stuff we see in cinema about all this, where do they get the ideas for that? It's got to come from somewhere.
I can touch a little bit on that, three or four of them.
It's got to come from somewhere.
I ain't going to be going to that today.
We'll go to that on another episode, but it's got to come from somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
The Marvel characters that we love and the technology that we see in this, and where does it come from?
Yes.
I do want to say this before we end it, though. One of the biggest things, and I just can't get away from this, is what I call the hurdle. Most people have not got past that.
No.
Or even considered it. You talk about UFOs, that's a joke.
Yeah, they don't want to hear
it. And I'm going to say it again. I said it before, like last October, November, whatever. Spend a little bit of time, please, and investigate it and look into it and look at the evidence. Then go from there.
Yeah. Don't take anybody's word for it.
Because that's what I've done. I've seen the evidence, and I'm saying, look, this is something going on here. Something out of the ordinary is going on here. All these is not swamp gas.
Exactly.
And
I tend to be a skeptic. Whatever. I tend to be Mr. Negative on stuff. And, oh, no, that's just foolishness. Oh, no, you didn't see that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but I have seen and heard from people who I have no doubt are legitimate in telling the truth enough that I'm like you guys. There is something there, and whatever it is, if it's, we may not be able to know what it is, but just to know that something's out there and to be able to agree on that.
You take somebody that's had an experience, and you know, it ain't no joke to them.
No, sir.
I'm going to say, this is around 75, 76, when I moved here to Alabama. The people that right down the road, the next house down the hill there, Sonia Campbell, and her family, a whole family, said it made a noise, and they all saw it. And I promise you, it ain't no joke to them.
No.
Now, that was in Piney Woods in the mid-70s.
Yeah. And there was a lot of strange things being seen in Piney Woods in the mid-70s.
But there still is. Well, folks, as we bring close to the show, and we're going to be back with y'all real soon. Yeah, Jason showed me this new alarm clock lamp that is a stormtrooper.
Can I talk about this for a minute?
Carry on, my brother.
A good friend of mine, Scott Schultz, I go to church with him at Desperation Church. He and his wife, especially his wife, I understand, are big Star Wars fans. And they had some lamps. I've never seen these before, but they had some lamps that are also alarm clocks. And the three lamps, one was a Darth Vader lamp that went missing. One was a Boba Fett lamp that went missing. And the last one was a Stormtrooper lamp. And they were going to give it to the thrift store. And Scott said, when they pulled up to the thrift store and got it out of the vehicle, he said, you know, wait a second. I know someone that would appreciate this. And he gave this to me, and I told Scott Schultz, I said, listen, I'm going to call this out on the podcast. He's a new listener, and let him know how much I appreciate it. And this will be something that stays inside of the headquarters here, the studio. And once I get a bulb in it, get it fixed, we'll have it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that's basically, I wanted to show you guys that lamp. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a picture with my cell phone. And since we're audio, we're not live on this show, not this episode. We will be at some point. If you don't care, get our administrator, who also is married to you, to put this on her, on our webpage. Let's see here. How do I do this? Yeah. And I can't even work that's pitiful. And let me get a picture of Billy. Let's see. What? All right. And I'll send those to you, and you get to the administrator.
That's it.
And
I have been looking at the idea of our own website outside of Facebook. I know Facebook's a big marketplace, but our own website that we can advertise and send people to.
I think that's a good idea. I really do. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
If there are any pictures you have of any of the NASA stuff, shoot it to Ash and let him put it on there.
Or even the YouTube videos you talked about. Yeah, send me a link and I'll...
That can accompany our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll add it to the Facebook page. Share
it. Yeah.
So we're going to start bringing it close to the show today, guys. A lot of fun. Glad to be back in the studio. The studio we're still working on. Maybe in the next couple months we get together and get it hemmed up.
Maybe we can.
When lumber prices go down.
Yes, when lumber prices go down, we're like a lot of Marvel films
right
now.
We're in pre-production. I had a guy trade 2 sheets of 3/4-inch plywood the other day as a down payment on a car.
I believe it. Billy here was offering me a sheet and a half of sheetrock, and I told him I can't afford you, Billy.
Right.
I mean, right there, you could take that money and
I was going to give it.
He's going to give it to me.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd feel guilty taking something that valuable.
And, you know, as we talk a lot, we like to talk to the little man, have guests. I think I want to get some small business owners in the area at some point and do a show on that.
That'd be great. I think that'd be great, man. Those, you know, it's really a challenge and a special thing to be doing your own thing.
That's it.
And I include people in that. I include people who are involved in sales because they're setting their own tone. You know, anybody that is, you know, if they don't perform or they don't produce, they don't eat.
That's it. Well, guys, we're going to bring close to it. Billy, it was great having you again. We love having Billy on the show. Keep an eye out for the follow-up episode to this. We'll be putting our paranormal investigations together soon. And I want to jump back into the cryptozoology at some point.
I do too. I've looked up some of the different Bigfoot organizations in Alabama, and I'm sure we can get them online and get to talk to someone.
I'd like to just talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah. We might do a Bigfoot investigation of our own.
That's it. Go out in Bankhead Forest and get lost.
Probably they'd do a podcast about us missing and
right. Guy on another podcast, seen the Wendigo.
That's it. Yeah,
I'd love to. I think maybe a map.
I'll
go there.
Absolutely, I'll check it out for sure.
Absolutely.
What's his name? Tiny.
That's what they called him.
Okay. Well, guys, we'll see y'all next time. We're signing off. Thanks again for listening. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you listen to us on. Show us some love on our Facebook page. Look us up, Two Guys in a Podcast. We don't post a lot on it, but. It's there.
It's there.
Thanks, guys. We'll see y'all next time.
Adios.